study and prayer. Thank you for each one that is here on a Wednesday night. I pray for each and every person who is present and those that are watching online. Lord, would you bless and strengthen us through your word tonight. Fill me with your spirit. Speak to us. Change us. Change me. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And thank you for standing. Last night we had our men's meeting, and Bradley Boone preached, and he preached an incredible message on Samson. There were some things that he said during his message that really spoke to my heart. There was one thing that he said, he didn't talk about it very long, but he said it, and I got home last night and I began to pray. I woke up a couple of times during the night, had it on my mind, and woke up this morning to begin to study, and it was on my mind even stronger. And it's this: living a disciplined life. Living a disciplined life. He mentioned that just briefly in his message last night, that he likes to read different books, and he mentioned that about discipline. And the Lord began to deal with me personally. This is a personal message tonight. That the times in my life since I've been saved that I've been disciplined in what I do is the times in my life that's been the best for me spiritually. Those times in my life that I've had discipline in my life, personal discipline, it's those times that some of you folks has come to me and said this: you're preaching different. I can tell you're doing something different. I've had some people in this church who said that to me over the last 20 years. And I began to think back on that, and I thought, you know, it was during those times that I had discipline, self-discipline. When I began to study Philippians 2, trying to continue on with my study of this book, I got into these verses, and that's exactly what it's dealing with. Surprise. God dealt with me last night. My study today goes hand in hand. So I need this message tonight, and I need to be reminded of discipline in my life. You will find, if you look up the word discipline, it's hard to find a good definition for the discipline that I feel that God has dealt with me about. Of course, if you look up the word discipline in the Webster's, it's going to say correction. It's going to say chastisement. It's going to say definitions of to inform the mind. It's going to say stuff like to teach rules and practice. And all of those things are no doubt the definition that Webster gives for discipline. But as I was studying today and I was reading, I found out something that I thought was very interesting. One of my favorite preachers, and I love to read everything that he writes, is David Jeremiah. And I found out that this is written in the very front of his Bible. Listen to what is written in the very front of his Bible. It's four things. Do what has to be done. Do it when it has to be done. Do it as well as it can be done. And do it that way all the time. I have a piece of paper in my study at home that is on the side of the wall. In mine and Miss Tina's bedroom, there is a place that was made for a study. There's a place that was made there for a desk. And that was one of the things that when we was fixing to buy that house, I noticed that that little cutout area in that master bedroom was for a study, it appeared to me. And the way God works things out, the desk that I have slid perfectly into that spot. There's not a half inch on either side of it. And there on the side of that wall, I have some goals that God had dealt with me about 2 years ago And there's 12 of those goals. And then I have written there with a black Sharpie marker, because God dealt with me about it one night in my prayer closet, stop doubting and do it. Stop doubting and do it. And it goes right along with those goals. Well, over a little bit of time, my discipline, my self-discipline to complete those goals got a little foggy, got a little dim, got probably 3/4 of the way down through those 12 things, about 3/4 of the way, and then began to take a little break. And can I say to us tonight that when you and I begin to take little breaks, if we're not real careful, we'll lose the discipline in our lives spiritually. Does that make sense to you tonight? And the Lord began to deal with me last night, get back to discipline. Get back to the things that I have showed you, and get focused back on those goals that is on that wall. And it's going to take personal discipline in my life. Let's look at these verses together. When I begin to study this chapter number 2, remember the word, I say this a lot, but it needs to be mentioned tonight in this message. Remember when a verse starts with wherefore, or if a verse starts with therefore, you always have to go back and read what is said before that verse. Because what is fixing to take place, the writer is fixing to take what you have just learned, now therefore, or now wherefore. You take what you have just learned and you apply it to your life, and then he's fixing to give us something to add on top of what we have already learned. Always remember that. It's consistent through the whole Bible, if it's a therefore or a wherefore. If we are wondering what is therefore or wherefore before verse 12, Philippians chapter number 2 is giving us an example, which is the greatest example in all of the Word of God. And that example is Jesus Christ himself. And when you begin to read those verses, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, obedient unto death, even to death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. It gives us all of those thoughts. Then he says, take that example of Christ, now apply it to what the Holy Spirit wants me to say next. Wherefore? The first thought that the Lord dealt with me about, if you take notes, is this. You got to make it personal. The scripture tonight has to be personal. The scripture that we're reading is not one of those scriptures that you can say, I wish so-and-so was here tonight, or I wish I could get a CD of this and give it to a coworker. No, tonight, this scripture must be personal. It's got to be that way. And you say, well, why is it so personal? Because of what it says in verse number 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own. That means him. That means her. That means my. That means your own selves. This is a personal verse. Yes, I can preach this verse to the church because it's in the Word of God. But when I preach this verse, it has to be personal in my life. And may I say to you tonight, you need to make it personal in your life. This is a very personal verse. It's for you, and it's for me. Work out your own salvation. Him, her, my, our own selves. Now let's think about this for a minute. It's not work for your salvation. It's not what it's saying. I am not saved by works. I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are not saved by our works. It says, not for your works. And we realize Philippians chapter number 1, he tells us in verse number 1 that he is writing this to all of the saints in Christ Jesus. So this chapter and this verse is not there speaking to us so that we will get saved. This verse is speaking to us because we're already saved. Are you with me tonight? We're already saved. It's not work for your salvation, but it says work out. Work out. What does that mean? It means to its full completion. It means working out what the Lord has already worked in. And when we begin to study about this, there must be personal discipline. There's got to be personal discipline. You might say this, well, there's nothing that I need to do. I've been given everything that I need. Christ has given me everything when He saved me. There is nothing in this life that I need to work. There's nothing in this life that I need to work on. There's nothing in this life that I need to move forward with. There's a big old piece of wood sticking up right there, and it just jerked them threads out of my jacket. That's a blessing. Somebody say amen on that. Wow, that is crazy. So when we think about it like that, turn with me to 2 Peter and let's look at something. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Go on back towards the back of your Bible. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 3, and then we're going to come right back to Philippians, because I believe right in here, if we're not careful, we can get confused. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 3 and 4, look what it says. According as His divine power, He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And you say, all right, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4, preacher, teaches us that when we accepted Christ, we have received everything that we need. We don't need to work on anything, preacher. We don't need to work on anything. But we read in Philippians where he says to work out your own salvation. But if we're not careful, we'll stop reading there. Now let me say this to you. Please hear this. Please hear this. When you and I got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to our life. We was forgiven for our sins. Amen? Past, present, and future. We've been forgiven. We also realize that when we got saved, according to the Word of God, we have been sealed to the day of redemption, and you and I have received the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Christ has given us everything that we need. But, now please hear this, but there are things in our Christian life. Let's just say this for an example. You can't just go to bed and say your prayers at night and say this, God, I pray that You'll help me be the godly person that I need to be. Now, God has already going to help us be the godly person that we need to be. But we're fools to think that there's some things in our life that we're going to have some discipline in as saved people. Because if we don't have self-discipline, if we don't have self-control, if we don't seek God the way we need to seek God, we can pray, God, make me godly all we want to pray it. But there are some things in this life that we're going to have to do to help us be that godly person. Does that make sense to you? You can pray all the time, Lord, I want to be godly. Lord, I want to have a good prayer life. Let me ask you this. Has anyone in this service ever prayed this prayer? Lord, give me wisdom. If you've ever prayed that prayer before, raise your hand. Lord, give me wisdom. Look, we can pray, God, give me wisdom all you want to. And maybe one day you'll wake up and be the wisest man in the world. But I don't think it works that way. I believe that if you and I truly want wisdom, then we're going to have to open the pages and read the Word of God. Amen? There are some things that we are going to have to do. You say, well, he's given us everything, preacher. Why in the world does it say work out your own salvation? Because if we are going to ever be what Christ has saved us to be, then there's some things in our life that we must have personal discipline in our lives. You can turn on your TV, and you don't have to have some special movie channel anymore. You can turn on your TV, and any day of the week, there's going to be filth on there. Are you hearing me? There's going to be filth on that TV. Now you pray, Lord, help me be godly. Lord, help me be set apart. God, help me be holy. And Lord, I realize that when you save me, you've given me everything that I need. But it's going to take some discipline to cut that TV off. It's going to take some self-discipline to do something different. And when we read here in 2 Peter, God really helped me with this because he says right here, according to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him and hath called us to glory and virtue. You say, preacher, you're contradicting yourself, but you got to keep reading. Look what he says in verse number 5 and 6. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You see what Peter's saying? When you got saved, God's given you the power inside of your life. He's given you everything that you need. But along this Christian journey, if I'm going to love you the way I'm supposed to love you as a brother, I'm going to have some discipline in my life. Are you with me tonight? If I'm ever going to be anything that Christ wants me to be, it's going to take some personal discipline. You're not just going to wake up one day and be holy. You're not just going to wake up one day and walk through this life and be a light to a dark world. It's going to take some discipline in our lives. And I've noticed, for me personally, when there is discipline in my life, my walk with Christ is so much different. But when there is no discipline in my life, my walk with Christ is dimmer. It's not nowhere near where it needs to be. Discipline. Discipline. I believe it has to be personal. It has to be a personal discipline in your life. And he says this. Let's go back to Philippians chapter number 2. For my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Discipline. Keep moving forward for Christ. You're not working to be saved. You're adding to your faith, virtue and knowledge and temperance and goodness and brotherly kindness. You're moving forward in those areas. He says, do it with fear and trembling. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying, that fear and trembling represents, it's very serious. It's very serious. Lord, make me a godly person. He says, I saved you, and you're a child of the King. And I will equip you, and I will strengthen you. But if you have no personal discipline in your life, you're going to do things that's going to make you an ungodly person. You're going to say things that you shouldn't say. You're going to look at things that you shouldn't look at. And you are going to partake in things that you have no business partaking in. You have to have personal discipline. Lord, help me. Lord, help me get out of this situation. Okay, let's say this, Matthew. Let's say you have found yourself in a bad situation. And you begin to pray, Lord, help me, get me out of this bad situation. I have yet to meet anyone that God sent down a huge beam, picked them up, and moved them out of that bad situation. You can pray, God, get me out of this bad situation, till you have no breath left in your lungs. But there has to come some type of work and some type of personal discipline in our lives, or we're not ever going to get out of them bad situations. You've got to get yourself up. You've got to use your legs to walk away from it. You've got to get your car keys out, put them in your ignition, and start up and get out of that place. Amen? Are you enjoying me tonight? There has to be personal discipline in our lives. There has to be. You cannot, listen, I cannot, we cannot keep moving forward in this Christian life and have no personal discipline. We've got to have it. We got to have it. And you know what he says here? He says, when I write this, he mentions of being in their presence, but yet more in their absence. You know what the Apostle Paul is saying? You are doing what you're supposed to be doing, whether I'm there or whether I'm not. And that goes to show a person who has personal discipline in their life. If the only reason that we are doing what we are doing is because we are only around certain people and we're going to be a certain way, then that's not discipline. If we're only doing it because mama's there or daddy's there or the preacher's there or church people's there or this person might come over, so we're going to have to really get some discipline going. Look, he says you need to do it whether I'm there or whether I'm not there. Discipline, personal discipline, you're going to do what you need to do if they ain't a soul knows about it. Amen. They don't have to nobody know. You don't have to put it across the prayer chain. You don't have to tell your best friends. Personal discipline. You'll do it regardless of who knows. In my life, Dwayne, when I set my clock on purpose, when I did what God laid on my heart to do, it changed me. And when I have slowly, at times in my walk with Christ, fell away from the things in my life that I know God wanted me to do, it's affected me spiritually. And if it's affected me spiritually, it has to affect all of you spiritually. Amen? Personal discipline in our lives. Okay, the purpose of that is in verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So in verse number 12, we are working. But in verse number 13, Paul is backing up what I have just preached to you. Not only are we working, but the Lord is working. The Lord's doing his part, and we're doing our part. The Lord's laying this on our heart. He's give us this in his word, and then we obey it. God says, look, I've put this out there. You've accepted that. I'm stirring in your heart. I sent conviction. I led the Holy Spirit your way. I was the one that gave you that message. I was the one that sent that person by to remind you and to instruct you. Not only do you have a part, but God's doing his part. Wow. What a blessing that is. Do what we know to do. Do what we know to do because we see what God is doing in us. I wrote that down in my notes. Do what you know to do because you know God's doing a work in you. God will give us the power. God will give us the will and the do. God will help us with that. You know what that means? That verse number 13 there, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means to be active. It means to show forth. It means to work. Discipline takes work. Discipline. Stop doubting and do it. It's rote. It's wrote that big on a piece of paper, Micah, right beside my head every time I read my Bible. It's wrote that big. Stop doubting and do. And I'll look over there at that and I'm thinking, I remember when I wrote that. I remember when you showed me that, God. And right above it is a list of things, of goals that Christ give. Look. Larry, those things that are written on my wall, I didn't read them in a commentary. I didn't get them from a preacher. Those things that are written, hanging on my wall, was given to me in my prayer time by the Lord. And those things take discipline. Stop doubting and just do it. It was God-given. It wasn't man-given. It was God spoke to my heart, not a friend spoke to my heart. And you might be here tonight and you might say, what areas in my life do I need discipline? Oh, hear this. If you want to know, ask him. Amen. Amen. Houston, if you want to know what areas in your life you need discipline, you ask God. God, show me what I need to do. Show me in my life where I need discipline. You probably already know, but the main thing is you probably don't want to do anything about it. But if you really want to know, ask him. He'll give you a list. He'll give you a list. But there's only one way that list will ever be completed. I know I sound like a broken record, but listen. You can pray over that list. I was praying when I got the list. You can pray over that list till you fall asleep praying. Are you with me now? You can pray over that list as soon as your eyes open the next morning. You can pray over that list for months, but that list will never be completed. It will never be completed until there's personal discipline in our lives. I can picture God just like this trip. Son, I give you all the power you need to finish it. I wouldn't put nothing on you that you can't handle. I'm not going to put more on you than you can stand. It's just a simple 12 things there, Keith. It's there. You just don't have enough discipline to finish it. Told you I'm preaching to myself. I told you. I got under conviction last night. That man preached a great message on Samson. He said a lot of things. He said one statement in that whole message, and the Holy Spirit went, boom, right in my heart. And I was like, ooh, ooh. You know what makes it so hard? You know what makes this message even harder to preach tonight? I'm going to have to set my clock in the morning. Got no choice now. I am going to have to set my clock in the morning. You say, what time you got to set it for? That don't matter. It don't matter. I will have to set my clock in the morning. And right now my flesh is saying, you don't have to do it in the morning. You look, New Year's resolution. Right? Why start this late in the year? Why, Sean? I mean, it ain't so many more days, and I can say, God, my New Year's resolution is. Y'all didn't know your preacher was like this. My New Year's resolution, that'd be a good time to start back. Nope. 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 You know what else is some self-discipline? We see the personal discipline. We see the purpose of it. And then he begins to lay down some specific things here. And this takes discipline. Verse number 14, point number A or B or however you want to put it in your notes. Be happy. Did you know to be happy takes discipline? It does. It takes some work sometimes. Because look what he says in verse 14. Do all things. I wish it said some things. But the Bible says do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what murmurings is? Grumbling. Dispute. You know those children of Israel, how many times did they murmur and complain? But you know what I read today in Exodus 16:8? Moses said, your murmurings are not against us, but your murmurings, all of your complaining, it's against God. Did you know that every time that you and I murmur, bellyache, complain, whine, everything in this life that we are just so about, we are not murmuring to no other person. We're murmuring to God. God in heaven, think about it like this, is looking at me and going, I give you everything you need to eat. I give you everything you need to drink. I give you direction in your life. I part Red Seas for you. I give you shelter by day and fire by night. I have taken care of you. And you don't even deserve it. And every time I go, I cannot believe. I'm not murmuring about my wife. I'm not murmuring about my children. I'm not murmuring about the house of God. I'm murmuring about God. If you really think about it, we're complaining and murmuring about God because evidently we're complaining because we don't feel that what's going on around us is the right things in our life. So God, we're murmuring to God. Had an awful night of sleep. My head was hurting. Oh, what a day at work. Oh. God's saying, I just wonder, if the bed was gone and you slept in the floor, if the job was gone and you had no paychecks, would you complain about your bed and would you keep complaining about the job because you prayed for that job and I give it to you? God, please give me that. God, please. God, you know what we need. Our family needs that, God. Oh, God, help us, Lord. And then he goes, ba-boom. And then we say, can't believe they asked me to work over. Can't believe it. I can't believe it. Listen, it's going to take some discipline in your life to quit murmuring and complaining. I read what one man said about the children of Israel, murmuring, complaining so much. He said, there's professionals at it. They was professional complainers. They had it down pat. The next time one of you women complain about your husband, and the next time one of us men complain about our wives, and the next time you complain about your youngins that are crying or they've made a mess, or you step on a car, let me remind us, is that not what you ask God for? Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Personal discipline's the purpose. And it's going to take some discipline to be happy. But then this last point, and we'll be finished tonight. Verse number 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You know, I thought it said world. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that that verse said crooked and perverse world. Crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This verse right here to me. Now you need to hear this. To me, this verse that we just read is one of the most powerful verses that I've read in the Word of God in years. This verse right here. This is one of the most powerful verses that I've read in the Word of God in years. I'm going to try my best to explain it the way God helped me with it. It's going to take some discipline to be like Christ in a crooked world. That word unblameable in that verse means pure and unmixed. I'm going to say this, and some of you is not going to like it. And this is not an arrogant statement. I don't care if you like it or not. This is just a fact. To be pure and to be unmixed falls under the umbrella of how we live, how we talk, how we look, how we dress, where we go. Everything about us must be pure and unmixed with the things of the world. And that's not legalistic preaching. That's preaching this verse in its context. Look, when I explain this, it'll make more sense. Because I had to look up some words in this verse for it to make sense to me. Okay, I'm going to need some volunteers right here. But I want you to see this verse in its light of what Paul is saying. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye, that's you, that's me, ye shine as lights in the world. Here we go. Listen, we'll be finished. That word crooked in this verse and that word perverse in this verse speaks of our nation. That word crooked, the word is scolios. Scolios. It's where we get the word scoliosis. That word crooked. Scoliosis, if you don't know, it's a curvature of the spine. That word perverse means permanently disfigured or distorted. It means to turn away. And he is telling us in Philippians, you live in a crooked curvature of the spine. You live in a disfigured and a distorted world. You live in a distorted nation. Are you with me? Okay, we live in a crooked, perverse nation. As I was studying, this thought came to me. Get on the computer, look up scoliosis, and type in images of people that has it. Scoliosis. All right? I'm going to need 1, 2, 3, 4 of you. It's all 4 of y'all. Come right up here just for a minute. Now, this is going to be so uncomfortable for you to do. It's going to almost be embarrassing for you to do. All right? All right. Abby, I want you to take your hip and go over this way like this, as far as you can. All right? And then I want you to do this. No, it ain't impossible. Do your hip like this, and then do your body like this. All right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take your hip that way, stay just like that. And then I want you to kind of go this way, and then raise your head up. Like, yeah. All right, big guy. I want you to stand as straight as you can stand. Okay? Now, this is the picture he's given us in this verse. These people are crooked. Do your faces like this. Go ahead. Come on. Yeah, you can. You can do it. Do something like this. All right? Now, here's the picture that he's given us. If we were straight, we're saved. The nation we live in is full of crooked and perverse people. It's a crooked and perverse nation. If he is straight, and you walk right through here, straight up, head up, shoulders back, just walk through there. How hard is it to pick out the straight one in the crowd? Are you with me, church? I'm telling you, this verse is one of the most powerful verses that I've read in years. This is the picture that God is saying that our nation's in. And you and I, if we walk through our nation, people should, y'all can sit down, hope you didn't catch a cramp. People should be able to look at you and I and say, they're different. They're different. They're not crooked. They're not perverse. Scoliosis, the curvature of the spine. People in our world is walking through life like this, and they don't even realize that's how they're walking. And Christ said, I saved you, and you're straight. Walk upright. Let your light shine in a crooked and perverse world. In other words, it takes discipline. And the problem is we have no self-discipline. That's why we call ourselves Christians, but yet we look like the world, walk like the world, act like the world, and no one in the world can tell you and I apart from those whose spines is crooked. Because there's no self-discipline in our lives. So we blend in with the nation. We blend in with the world. Our light does not shine before man. We talk like the world. We act like the world. We dress like the world. We do everything like the world. And our light is not shining for Christ. Are you hearing me, church? Internet, if you're listening, please hear this. There's nothing different in our lives. And he says, you're not crooked. You're not disfigured. You're upright. If there is no personal discipline, if there is no purpose in our lives to be like Christ, if none of that is in our lives, no wonder. No wonder our light is not shining in a dark world. Christ has given us everything we need. The power of God is inside of you. But if you have no discipline, you can pray all day long, son. You can pray all day long. God, let me be an example. God, let my light shine. God, let me be that witness at work. God, give me the strength to overcome this trial. God, I keep praying. I pray all the time, God, that you'd help me with this. I pray all the time, God, that you'd take this away from me. I have prayed till I can't pray anymore. And it appears to me that God is not answering my prayers. No. God has given you the power inside of you to be able to do everything that He's laid on your heart to do. God is working. The problem is we are not. That's the problem. Second Peter tells us that. I've given you everything that you need, but add to your faith, add to your virtue, add to those things in your life. When we stand before God one day, we will never be able to say, God, you didn't do your part. Those words will never come out of our mouths. God, you didn't do your part. You didn't hold up on your end of the deal, God. He's going to say, oh, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Second Peter, I give you the power. I live inside of you, son. I give you everything that you needed. The problem was not me. The problem was you. The problem was you. I had an addiction in my life for a long time. Some people says, don't preach on stuff like that, preacher. I dipped Copenhagen like it was going out of style. When I come to pastor this church, I dipped. I told my wife I quit and I lied. I'd hide it in my closet. I'd get up in the middle of the night and go in my closet and sit down in there and get a dip. 3 o'clock in the morning just so she wouldn't know I was dipping. I loved it. Just talking about it, my mouth waters. Tina'd buy me a roll of it at the store. Then I told her, I said, look, God's dealt with me about this. I'm going to have to quit. I'm just going to have to quit. And you know what I kept saying for the longest? I can't. I can't quit. I can't quit. I'm trying to quit. I just can't quit. I want to quit, but I just can't. God, take this from me. God, take this from me. God, take this from me. God, please take this from me. God, help me. Give me victory over this. God, give me victory over this, God. I never will forget that day. It plays in my mind like it was yesterday. You open the console of my truck and there laid a can of Copenhagen. Abigail was probably about the age of probably one of these younger ones sitting right here. She looked down that console and she said, hey, Dad, is that your snuff? I said, nope. She said, whose is it? I said, it's Cleve's. I hope Cleve's watching tonight. You need to hear this story again, Cleve. I said, it's Cleve's. She said, no, it's not. I said, oh, yes, it is. She said, well, if it's Cleve's, throw it away. And then she said this, I'm going to tell Mom it's in there. I'm a grown man, and I was like, don't tell Mom. Don't tell your mama. She said, then throw it away. I got out of my truck, took that can, opened up that trash can lid, and dropped it. And it was like a Plinko chip. It went boom, boom, boom. And I kept thinking, stop, stop, stop. That can went plumb to the bottom. And I was like, mm-mm. She said, well, it must not have been yours. I won't say nothing to Mom. I was like, whew. I never will forget that day. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And this is what came into my mind. If you will lie to your daughter and look her straight in the eyes over a can of Copenhagen, that is sad. I said, God, I'm done. I'm done. All that time, God gave me the power to overcome it. But until I put forth the effort, nothing changed. You say, well, I dip. I don't care if you dip or not. You say, I dip and smoke. I don't care if you dip and smoke. That's between you and God. But for me personally, I couldn't do it. God showed me it was over. It's done. You can't do that no more. You say, have you had a dip since then, preacher? I knew somebody was going to think that. One. Jamie and myself was mowing Tina's granny's yard. Jamie was getting his lawnmower out, and I was getting my lawnmower out, and I looked over and he was going. And I said, oh, dear Jesus. I said, Jamie, don't put that in your pocket. I said, give me just one little dip of that. He said, mm-mm. I said, Jamie. He said, you've quit. I said, I don't care. Give me a dip of that. He said, Keith. I said, come on, man. He handed it to me. I put it in my mouth. Within about 30 seconds, I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Spit it out. That was the end of that. I don't know why I told that story. But for some reason, I don't think somebody in here needs to quit dipping. I think somebody in here has got a whole lot bigger problem than dipping. You can pray till you're blue in the face. But it ain't stopping until you have some discipline in your life. And when you do, it'll stop. But until then, it will not. It will not stop. I needed this message. I love when I preach a message like this. Never fails. Somebody come up to me and they'll be like, I know what you're dealing with, preacher. You start dipping again. I'll preach a message on marriage and it never fails. Before the week's over, somebody say, you and Tina okay? You guys doing all right? Never fails. You want to know? I'll tell you. I don't care to tell you. I've got a piece of paper on my wall at home. It's got 12 things on it. I'm on number 8, maybe 9. And as long as there was discipline in my life, it was happening. But as soon as I got slack, it stopped. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessings in our life. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the message that I heard last night. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you convicted my heart. You convicted me, God. You convicted me over discipline in my life personally. Lord, I'll confess in my prayer to you tonight and in front of these hearers, I confess to you, God, in my flesh, I'd soon just be lazy a little bit longer. In my flesh, I would as soon just put it off for another month or two that turns into 6 and then another year. God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, you've given me the strength within me to do it. But God, I pray that you would help me to have personal discipline in my life. Not for one person in this building. Not for my wife, not for my children, and not for my grandchildren. But God, I pray that you would help me to have personal discipline in my life for one person and for one person only. And God, it's for you. It's for you, God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Does anyone want to come pray before we have our altar of prayer? Anyone?